Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
It's out now. I know what you were feeling, but what were you thinking?
I'm not sure I was thinking. That was in my 20s.
Oh,
we don't
okay.
think very much in our 20s.
You were bulletproof then, weren't you?
You know, I was immortal then. But my wings have been clipped, and I'm a mere mortal now. you're right. The cover of my book, Right Risk, is a picture of me on fire. I traveled around the country for 7 years as a member of the U.S. high diving team. And in that time, I performed over 100 dives from feet. Over 1,500 dives from heights that scale to over 100 feet. That's about a 10-story building.
Yeah.
And the clincher is that I'm afraid of heights.
Like I said, what were you thinking? So you had to overcome. I mean, what made you do something like this?
Well, in fact, it was
being afraid of heights.
You know, when I was a little kid, I went to the top of the Empire State Building with my brother and my father, and the two of them were looking out over the city and pressed up against the overlook there. And I wasn't. I was back against the building because I was totally petrified. And I learned in that moment that, you know what, our fears are different. They're all relative. And then to sort of fast forward a little bit, diving became my sport. I was one of these kids who was not a good athlete. I wasn't picked for the football team or the baseball team. And one day I found diving. Unfortunately, the only way you can progress in the sport is upward. So if you want to be good in the sport, you have to challenge yourself to reach greater and greater heights. So it really was the confrontation of either I'm going to be good at this sport or I'm going to be bad at another sport, and I didn't want to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I know the thing that you do so well is to use your high diving experience and that metaphor to help people be all that they can be. And the only way we can do that, Bill, and I know that this is something you talk about in your training and in your writing, is we have to be able to take a risk. We have to be willing to take a risk, don't we?
Yeah, we really do. You know, when you look at the cover of my book's not about daredevilry. It's not going to make anybody do a fire dive. At the same time, most of us are going to stand at the edge of a risk at some point in time where it feels like a high dive for us. Physiologically, the same thing is going on for you when you're considering bringing on a new employee or starting your own business. You have all of the teeming butterflies. Your palms are sweating. You're blotchy. You're full of doubt. You're facing fear. But this is really the grist of what life is all about. You can't evolve as a person. You can't be an entrepreneur. You can't be a leader. You can't be an innovator unless you're willing to face risk. And this is what the book's about.
Well, how do we do that? What's the most fundamental way to deal with risk? I mean, there are a lot of different, as we go through our small business lives, Bill, as you know, there are a lot of different ways that we can take risk. But what would be a good fundamental way to be able to face risk and to deal with it and to accept it and to be successful with it?
Yeah, there's a couple of things, Jim. The first is to recognize that risk taking is decision making and frame it as such. Because when we're at the edge of a risk, it's will I, won't I? Can I, can't I? Should I, shouldn't I? So if we frame it in terms of a decision. Another thing is to look at your own family's history with risk. A lot of times we're always looking forward about the risk that we're facing. But think about all your relatives and some of the risks that they had to face. I think of my great-grandmother, for example, who came over from Ireland at 17 years old, waved goodbye to her parents, and never saw them again.
Wow.
A lot of people in the United States have had that sort of immigrant experience in their family. So there's been courage demonstrated somewhere in your own background. It's part of your own DNA. So I think that instead of beginning with the end in mind, sometimes you have to begin with the way beginning even before you were born beginning in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things can be helpful. And then I've got 5 criteria with which to gauge whether a risk is a right risk or the wrong risk, because we all know that risk has its downside as well.
Right, absolutely. In fact, that's exactly right. Why don't you give us one of those?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing that you should do is, of course, we want to make sure that we've got a payoff. In fact, I've got 5 P's, and the first one is payoff. We want to make sure that it's going to benefit us in some way. But if we solely base it on that, then it becomes a greed-based risk, and that's not good decision-making. It gives you things like Enron and over in Alabama, Health South.
Well, the other thing about the payoff thing is it has to be something that is actually possible. And, you know, sometimes I see people who take risks for things that might be possible for somebody else but aren't possible for them because they just because they don't have they haven't done the homework or you know they the thing that they're going for is actually possible but not the way they're going not the way that they're going about it.
Right. You can almost have a false confidence. If you don't have the capabilities to match your confidence, you're really putting yourself in a dangerous situation.
You know, when I was learning how to fly, my pilot trainers, one of my pilot trainers reminded me that euphoria, which is a feeling that you get when you start running out of oxygen at higher altitudes, he said, don't forget, euphoria is a false sense of well-being.
Ah, that's a good example.
And so sometimes, you know, we get a false sense of well-being, and it's because we haven't done our homework.
Yeah, and you really do need to do your homework. The point is to lower your high dive as much as you can, and you do that by getting coaching, studying up. Of course, the web is a great resource to study and get research now. Talk to other people who have done the risk that you're wanting to do so that you try to lower your high dive. But you're only going to be able to lower it so much. If you lowered it all the way, it would be a certainty, not a risk.
Well, then everybody would be doing it.
Exactly.
Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break. Give us your website, please.
GiantLeapConsulting.com.
GiantLeapConsulting.com. The book is called Right Risk. We'll be right back with our new friend, Bill Treasurer, the author of Right Risk. Stay with us. 20 after. Back is 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. We're visiting with our new friend, Bill Treasurer. He's the author of Right Risk. It's a new book out, and Bill, tell us where the book is available, please.
Hey, they can get it at any online bookseller, at their local bookstore, at Amazon. They can also get it through my website where they can get a signed copy
right.
At www.giantleapconsulting.com.
And the last name is spelled just like you heard me say it, Treasurer. And Bill is Treasurer is the name on the cover. Bill, you know one thing that's interesting to me are the people who look at what I do and what you do as small business owners. These are people who have a regular job,
mm-hmm.
and they look at what you and I do and they think that we're foolhardy. They think they're crazy or something like that, or there's something special about us because we were successful in taking the risk or whatever. But the truth is, what they don't realize is that they're taking risks by being an employee, and especially now in the 21st century when the myth of job security is fully exposed.
I agree.
Mean, we all take risks, don't we?
We all do. In fact, we all take risks and we all avoid risks. And, in fact, I was one of those workers not so long ago. I was in a corporate job making a six-figure income, sitting in my cubicle, and I was faced with the decision, do I start my own business or not? And I had a lot of fear around that. It was a new high dive for me.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it came down to that, you know, my job was being tethered to a computer like it was a respirator, and I felt like, although I was making really great money, I wasn't growing, learning, and evolving. And ultimately, every risk can be broken in two, Jim, the risk of action and the risk of inaction. And though it was a longer course, I think it would have been more dangerous for my career to have stayed in a suffocating job that was no longer growing me professionally.
Yeah. To me, the greatest danger in life is not taking risk.
I think that the risks that we regret the most are the ones that we didn't take. And you bring up another good point is that all of us take and all of us avoid risk. And so even though those folks in that work environment think that they're comfortable, that play-it-safe strategy is ultimately can be very, very dangerous. I have my grandmother, she used to be able to assert a bold opinion like nobody. She could tell somebody in authority, she could tell you like it was, but she never learned how to drive. I have a relative who happens to be a special agent in the Drug Enforcement Agency. He carries a gun on his ankle. And I mean, that guy is he's as risky as you can get, but he doesn't feel comfortable telling his wife he loves her because it makes him feel all gushy inside.
Mm-hmm.
All of us take risks, and all of us avoid risks, too. We just do it in different domains. Even Evel Knievel avoids risk somewhere in his life.
Well, that's exactly right. And the good thing about today, Bill, as I know you know, is that with the information that's available to us, what was a huge risk years ago can now be less of a risk because we're able to educate ourselves more and to make better decisions. And that
sure
helps
are.
Us to avoid risk, doesn't it?
I'm sorry, the second part?
Well, I just said that helps to avoid that information being able to find this information, do the homework, do the due diligence, allows us to minimize risk.
I think that you're right that it does do that, and I think that in today's day and age we've learned a lot of lessons from the folks that have done all the failure in front of us, and I think that by the time you get into your late 30s and your 40s and your 50s, you are a seasoned professional, and if you do your homework, if you do the research. If you take a few night classes, if you get boned up on the financial aspects of business and such, making the transition from a steady job into opening your own business, which is so invigorating, is ultimately less risky than some of the statistics belie.
One of the things, Bill, that you talk about in your book that I really like, I'll remind you, the book is called Right Risk, Bill, is that you talk about the danger of not being yourself. Talk to us about that a little bit.
I think that the rightest risk of all is the risk of authenticity. At the end of the day, the only person you're going to spend your whole life with is yourself. And you've got to be able to look yourself in the mirror and be proud of who you are. If you're a slow sellout, if you're slowly compromising your dreams in the service of safety, I think that you're not living a life of authenticity. It's not easy to do because society wants you to believe certain things and your government will tell you certain things and everybody wants to have their opinions imposed on yourself. But when you operate out of your authenticity, if you follow your passions, if you follow your calling, if you follow your talents, your God-given talents, I believe, then you're living in alignment with the person you're supposed to be as opposed to putting a mask on for everybody else. It's not easy to do, but when you do that, I believe that you're more fulfilled as a person, and ultimately you live a life of least regret.
Don't you think that the 21st century is going to be a much greater century of risk-taking than the 20th century was?
I think that it is, in terms of the danger factor is higher. From that standpoint, I think you're right. I think, though, that it's also, we're having to find ways to make ourselves excited as people, I think. It's amazing that although we live in these remarkable times that are so novel, a lot of us feel really, really bored. And so we seek out sort of these gratuitous extremes, these risks that maybe we shouldn't be taking to turn up the volume of our life. So I think that on the one hand, we live in interesting times. On the other hand, we're losing a little meaning along the way.
Well, here's to finding more meaning, and I hope that you'll come back again in 2004 and help us to find some of that through better risk-taking.
Jim, I'd love to, and I salute all the small business owners out there. You're really living on the edge of risk, and for that, I commend you.
Thanks, Bill Treasurer. We'll be back real soon. 29 after, I'll be right back with Governor Pete DuPont. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.